Yeah, so I was in a wheelchair for a month and I couldn't lift my left foot at all. So I thought I was bound to the wheelchair for the rest of my life.
But you were like, no, I'm going to push. I'm going to do it. And there was a thing with you where if we did 10 reps, you wanted to do 11. You know, you got to a place where you could do 5 push-ups. Well, next time I saw you, first thing you told me, I can do 10 now.
Welcome to the Longevity Formula with Dr. Brandon Crawford. Let's explore the new era of wellness.
Welcome, everyone, to the Longevity Formula. I'm your host, Dr. Brandon Crawford. Today is an extremely special day. I have someone here with me that I love, I adore, I personally look up to, someone that I've been able to work with clinically. So he's been a patient of ours. And he just has a remarkable story and now really has a story and a message that he wants to convey to the world. I'm talking about Cody Wall here, and Cody is the essence of a saying that we like to say. We always say never accept never, right? And you embody that saying for us because of all the things that you've been through and what you've been able to accomplish and everything. So Cody, thank you for coming on today, man.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So there's so many things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Specifically the events at Joshua Tree that you just described.
Joshua Tree, nothing really bad happened. It's funny because me and my friend Bill would go there and just kind of explore and stuff. Then one weekend we thought we had some great idea. Let's go camp up there. Because there's places where you could camp, park randomly and just camp there. So we're like, we're going to camp here and then explore Joshua Tree in the morning. Well, we got to the campground at 2 in the afternoon, and Joshua Tree is not really the most shady place. So it's literally just two guys sitting out by the car in the sun for whenever we got dark in Southern California, drinking and playing games, for a while, we're sitting in a little fold-up chair throwing Cheez-Its in his window to his car for, 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we did some dumb stuff for sure.
How old were you?
The sad thing, 24, 25, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, old enough to...
Old enough to not do that, but young enough not to care.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, life kind of changed for you, you know, roughly 5 years ago, right? So before we go into that, I kind of want to get to know the Cody before that, right? And so who were you? What were you doing?
So the Cody before the accident, I was in college or working a job at a calibration shop just with no direction in my life. So I was going to school to do just, I was looking to get just a general business degree because that's what my dad did. So that was well, that's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. But after sitting through classes, that's not what I wanted to do. And I was end up drinking half a bottle of liquor a night, smoking weed, just trying to escape my real life just because I wasn't happy with how things were going. But I was going to school just because that's what I thought people had to do at my age, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Which, when you don't know what you want to do, don't waste your time in college or your money in college. Find something you're really passionate about and then excel at that. And that's what I want. That's what I'm trying to do now that I finally found out what I wanted to do. And that's so now I'm going to school. So back in those days, I was making probably B's, C's with maybe a few B's, but now it's if I don't make a B, I get sad because I'm I should have done better.
Yeah.
Okay, let me take that back. When I don't get an A, I'm I should have done better. I should have paid attention more. This class. Like, now I'm making A's and B's. And I would have never done that before the accident at all.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And then eventually you found yourself in the military, right?
Yeah, so I spent a year and a half wasting my time with school and just not knowing what I wanted to do. But then I was like, well, I can't just waste all my parents' money and stuff when I don't know what I want to do. So I'm just going to sit here and be a bum. So I finally joined the military because I was like, well, at least I'm going to do something that I'm finally going to do something that
is more productive.
More productive than just near going to class.
Right. And then you also had family members that went into the military, right?
Yeah, my grandpa, my step-grandpa, my step-uncle, and my dad all joined the Marine Corps, which is funny because my dad literally did the same thing as I did. We spent a year and a half in school.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what to do, so then we joined the military. Like, I joined the Marines because I can't go something different when I got three other Marines.
Yeah, if you're a Marine, it's not like you can just go to the Army. I mean, come on. You got to go Marines.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have a desire to go into any other branch except for the Marines because of my family had joined the Marines. So I want to be part of that.
Sure.
I want to be... What's the word? I want to be...
Well, you want to be a part of, you know, what they started and be included and all the things, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, they're going to give you hell if you go into a different branch. Because that's kind of what you have to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the military, right?
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you would have taken some heat from your brothers and your dad and everyone.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because looking back now, I should have chosen a different branch because I probably would have been treated a little better while in the military, but when I went home, I would not have been treated better at all. So it's a give or take. And I took my family's respect over being treated like a prince if you're working. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Cody, you know, 5 years ago or, you know, longer than that. So you were a strong guy. You were... probably pretty stubborn. I know I've talked to your mom.
Oh, I am the most stubborn person there is. If you tell me, hey, you can't do that, like, doctors have said that your brain cannot do that, well, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to do it because you told me I can't do it, so I'm going to.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why you embody never accept never, right? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So you're just kind of goofing around with life, just having fun, doing your thing, and then went to the military. And then something changed, right? There was an event. What happened? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, so I'd finally gotten there, and I was living in San Diego, dating a girl, and I was found at the bottom of her three-story apartment, just found on the ground, and
Three stories. I didn't realize it was three stories.
Three stories. They found me on the ground. Luckily, the ambulance came and they had to do CPR and stuff, but they got me going. I mean, I still got some difficulties, but I feel like I'm more or less here. I'm at least here physically and mentally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that what we're going to learn is that you're actually more here than previously.
Yeah.
Prior to the accident, right?
Yes.
I think that's going to be the gist of this story, right?
Yes.
So, go ahead.
No, what were you saying?
Well, no, so something happened. And the thing is, you don't really remember what, right? I mean, here you are, you're the strong guy. And, you know, you're not small. I mean, you're bigger than I am. Mm-hmm. And something happened. We don't know what. You don't know what. And you were found, it apparently maybe fell off a balcony, thrown off a balcony, not sure. And it's just hard for someone to imagine, you know, because you don't even remember what happened. When did you wake up? How did you wake up? What did that look like?
So when they took me to the hospital, apparently I was in a coma for probably 2 weeks. But then when I woke up, I was still kind of asleep because I didn't come back to my senses until June, which was probably a month and a half, 2 months after the accident happened. So I was awake, but I was staring pretty blankly at everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what you were transferred around to different hospitals, rehab facilities, et cetera. Yeah. And then what, roughly like 2 months or so after all of that happened, you kind of described this like I kind of came to, right?
Yeah, in my eyes, I woke up from a dream, but yeah, I woke up and I was like, I thought I was still in a dream because my left leg didn't work. I was like, my arm was, I mean, it's still pretty up here, but I mean, it was worse. And I was like,
I remember.
What is happening to me? Didn't know what was happening. And I was like, well, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So can you, because I don't have any perspective on this. Can you give us a little bit of insight? I mean, this is intriguing to me, you know, with studying neuroscience and the brain. So when you were in that coma state, right? So you were in this coma, but then you were awake, but not really.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a dream.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the coma? Because I've had patients tell me about their coma experience, and some people can remember things. Do you have anything there?
No, but luckily I don't remember anything because I was in some pretty, like, the facilities I was in, apparently they weren't very exciting and stuff, so it's kind of good I don't remember it, but it's kind of like God was putting a shield in front of me just to help me get through to the next part without me suffering through all this way,
yeah.
Seeing what was happening, yeah.
Right.
That's the one good thing, too, is my spiritual life has greatly increased with this accident, which you might think it would decline because of all this happened, but I think it's increased to new limits.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think I'll never forget the song with Lauren Daigle, and she's talking about how, like, Shia.
I would help you, but I'm terrible with lyrics.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. She was like, the song is pretty much saying how, like, he came and found you in the darkness, and I was in a very dark place, and he found me, and, like, I've heard it said, like, wouldn't you be mad, like, this happened to you? And I'd say, no, he found me and took me out of a dark place. It might have to take some detours, but in the end, it's pretty amazing stuff has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a perspective that a lot of people never really arrive to. And the Bible tells us to be joyful and rejoice and be thankful for trials and tribulations, right?
Yeah.
Like the Bible tells us that. And this is a perfect example, right? So you can find gratitude in what some would consider just an extremely just terrible, awful. I'm not saying it was good.
Yeah.
But you have gratitude in it.
That's because good things have come out of this. Like, I was the typical asshole kid who was 21 to 25, like,
did you say were? Because I would say maybe. No, I'm kidding.
I was for sure. Like I'm not going to reach out to anyone that cares about me. Like, I'm pretty much cut myself off from my family, just trying to live my life.
Yeah.
But this accident is, I'm closer with my family now than I ever was. And I wasn't the best older brother because I left when they were in high school. Like, I left to California for the military. I mean, I was a good example, but I wasn't a good teacher because I didn't reach out to them and see how things were going. Yeah. I just was not a very good very good older brother at the time of my life.
Yeah.
So luckily, okay, not luckily, I'm lucky that my eyes have been open to this through this session, and I'm not just going back to the way I was.
Right.
I'm trying to turn over a new leaf.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, man, you know, life was going along like this. If this traumatic experience wouldn't have happened, I mean, maybe you'd be in prison. Maybe you'd be dead. Maybe you'd just be a bum in San Diego, right?
I'd most likely be a bum in San Diego, but yeah.
There's plenty of those already, right?
Yes, I know. I would have been... Apparently, it's pretty cool to do. I mean, the weather is perfect there, so it would be easy to do, but I don't think I would have enjoyed it that much, though.
I know you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that we can acknowledge that you have too much purpose, and God wants to use you. And that's why he had to whack you upside the head.
Yes.
And yeah, somehow sure. drag your butt to Austin, Texas, and set you on this path, on this journey, right?
Yeah,
and
that, for sure.
And we're going to get in. This is so cool. So here you are, and you're waking up, and you know you're saying, shoot, my left leg's not working, my left arm, what's going on? I'm finally kind of waking up from this dream. Take us from there. So were you in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, so I was in a wheelchair for probably, like, from waking up, I was in a hospital in California for a month, and I couldn't lift my left foot at all, so I thought I was bound to the wheelchair for the rest of my life, but I was like, eh. But luckily, my mom, who is a phenomenal, what's the word? Phenomenal, like,
person, inspiration.
Person, yeah. she would, like, when she hears no, she says, well, I'm gonna look, and then I'll let you know if no is the answer.
So we know where your stubbornness came from.
Yes,
okay,
for sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We have that established.
Yeah. So she got me in a chair, and it was funny because the first day I was in a chair,
That was Tier?
At Tier Memorial downtown.
Herman. Yeah.
Downtown, yeah. And so my first day there, we had to go see some doctors and stuff. So my physical therapist actually came to my room to introduce herself to me. And I had to show her how my walking was. And I was like, I can't move my left foot. So as we're walking, she yelled at me and started yelling at me to move my left foot. And all of a sudden it started working. So I think I respond well to yelling because... I don't know what happens, but when people yell at me, things get done.
You know, that would have helped me out if you would have told me that when we started, what, a year and a half ago,
yeah.
2 years ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you would have told me, if you yell at me, I'm going to work harder. Thanks. Now I know this.
It's funny because I didn't have to tell you. You just yelled at me from the get-go.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I did.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So... what was kind of that experience like of, okay, I was a strong guy, I'm waking up from this dream, now I'm in a wheelchair. What was going through your mind?
Well, for the first probably year and a half, I was like, well, this is just how my life is going to be like for the rest of this. I mean, there's not much I can do. I was like, this is what it's going to be like. But it's different once I found the functional neurologists, they really, I really bought into their work because I found out that when I get in big fights with my parents, which I'm a 31-year-old man, I should not get in fights with my parents, but I...
Yes, you should. It happens all through life. Don't worry.
Yeah,
it will continue to happen.
Yeah. I found that when I fight with them, I end up being able to do more than I used to be able to because I don't want to ask for help. So that's when I find out when I can do things. Like, I'll never forget, I was at home, and it was around Christmas time, and I got in a fight with my parents, and they were like, okay, put yourself in the wheelchair and go to bed. I was like, F you, like, I'm walking over there. So I got up and walked from my chair to the bathroom. Before I went to they were freaking out. They're like, get in the wheelchair, you're gonna fall. And I was like, no, F you, I'm going this way. And I ended up walking over there, and that's when I found that I could walk and stuff. So it's like when the bad things, when the arguments happen, is when I see the biggest changes that I didn't think were possible. Yeah, that was a funny day for sure. Yeah.
I think that's one way to describe it, as a funny day. Oh my gosh. So would you say that there was like a significant turning point or like a shift in your trajectory, like to getting better, if you will, or to recovering?
Let's see. I would say yes. So after a year and a half of doing regular PTOT and speech, I was like, once you hit a year mark, that's as far as you can go. And I was like, I started freaking out, like, I only have a few more months, like, what do I do? But then I went to Dr. Trayford in North Carolina, and that's where we got really introduced to the functional neurology and stuff.
Right.
And he introduced me to your laser and everything. And that's when I ended up getting off all medicine when I was there and started using the laser, and I started seeing results from this. And then that, I would say that was probably the turning point of my life, just because at that point, like, no was not the answer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, from then on, I was like, I'm going to get back to work. I mean, I think people are saying, like, do you want to get back to where you were? I say no. Like, I'm trying to get past where I was. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, it might look a little different, but I'm further than where I was before the accident, for sure. Right. Yeah.
That's a huge concept. That's a big mindset.
Yeah.
Right? So there is a shift. And so going through traditional model of care, which we're thankful for, right? Yeah. We're not saying that. Now, I will say, you know, we had to undo some compensation strategies.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
And that was a big part of when you showed up at our office, right? And so you were exposed to functional neurology and laser therapy, specifically the type of laser therapy we practice, which is different. And it gave you hope.
Yeah.
And that hope is, hey, maybe this isn't the end of the story, right? Maybe my story will continue for forever, and I get to be the author of this story.
Yeah.
Right? That's powerful. So before we kind of continue down that rehab path, let's kind of, because you're talking a lot about mindset.
Yeah.
Tell me about this, man. I mean, tell me about the mindset and good days, bad days. Where are you at with that?
Okay, so mindset is a very big, very big deal when it comes to getting past injury or negativity and stuff. But here's one thing I have to tell you is there will be days when it will seem like everything is for nothing and like, all the work you've done, it's just going down the hole, because there have been days where I literally woke up and I was like, today is not the day. And I just, it's just turns up being an awful day. I'm like, I'm never getting better. I'm never, ever doing anything. I'm just going to see you for the rest of my life and stuff. Yeah. But then the next day, I wake up, I'm like, well, yesterday was kind of bad, but today's going to be good. So I'm lucky and I have a short-term memory. So, well, it's funny because now it's like I really do have a short-term memory, but no, I can't. No, what's the word? I do have a short-term memory. The next day I'm like, well, that was bad, but I wasn't ready to do something good today.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah, let's move forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really easy to do, right? And especially if you're talking to people in similar situations. So whether it's brain injury or any kind of thing, really, you know, some days really suck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I want to say is the brain injury recovery is not a short journey. Short journey. It is, I'm on year five and still see improvements and stuff, but there will be days when things are like, look like there will never, ever be back to the way they were, and they won't be. And that's the thing I'm trying to tell people is, you're going to be different, but it doesn't, different does not mean worse. I mean, like, I'm in a different place than I used to be, but I'm in a better place than I used to be because of that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Just the whole mindset and the concept around being able to acknowledge gratitude for what some would consider just a terrible event. And here you are saying, no, I'm better.
Yeah.
Than what I was before. I'm past what I was before.
Yeah.
It's huge. And a lot of people, and look, I get to see a lot of people, right? I get to work with a lot of people that have had brain injuries and other kinds of things. Not everyone gets there.
I've been, okay, first off, it really depends on who you surround yourself with.
Yes.
Luckily, my parents, they're just like me. They will not take no for an answer. So I'm extremely grateful for that. And it, like, with you, I consider you as my mentor and stuff. So, like, you've been a huge figure in my recovery, too, just because you've done so much and everything. You've made me want to be a better person because you see the positive lights in people, and that's what I want to do. Just because it is, for a while I didn't see that. See, there was a positive way forward anymore, right. But you showed me there was, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, I'll say that you have taught me a lot, right? And that's something that, you know, every patient that we get to work with is a new textbook.
Mm-hmm.
And you have written so many chapters for me. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try not to cry.
Luckily, I can't cry, so we're good there at least. Yeah.
Shoot. So yeah. I'm the one that's going to have to hold it back. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So you end up, right? So I remember that first day, right? I remember you showed up in the office, and I just remember that first evaluation, right? Your arm was just, you know, it had a big contractor. And I remember, you know, you were getting up. I wouldn't call it walking.
Yeah.
You had this compensation pattern that I went, oh my gosh. And that's something that I like to really talk about is, you know, in developmental functional neurology, we have to acknowledge that it's just like a baby, right? If a baby is learning how to walk, well, there's a process that they go through. We don't take a 3-month-old baby and just stand them up on their feet and say, okay, walk, take some steps. Well, we know that baby has to crawl, and they have to pull up, and they have to go through this developmental trajectory. And the cool thing is that our brain, if it's injured or if something happens to it, it's not like it just gives up or it forgot how it got there to begin with. It has these mechanisms. And so that was kind of what was frustrating to me, because I've learned it academically, right? And I had worked with a lot of pediatrics, and I had worked with adults, especially when I was in the hospital doing my work in Dallas. I got to see a lot of adults of various types of issues. But I really got to see it in you, because I saw so much potential in you, but then you came in with this compensation pattern in your walking, and I was like, shoot, all they did was, like, they really focused on standing you up, standing you up, standing you up, standing you up. Mm-hmm. And the brain is really plastic. The brain is going to mold and change. And sometimes that molding and changing will happen, and maybe instead of developing in the proper way, we develop these compensation patterns.
Yep. I'll never forget, I remember the first time getting to your office, the old office, my parents were like, okay, we're going to get the wheelchair out and go inside. And I was like, no, I'm going to walk in because I really want Dr. Crawford to focus on my arm because it was like this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled in. I didn't walk in. I stumbled in. But that's when you told me to get that maybe the plate in my wrist was a problem. And lo and behold, that was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go figure, right? If mm-hmm. we put a big old hunk of metal across a joint, it's not going to move properly, right? Yep. Funny how that works. Yeah. So what was going through your mind when we were starting to go through all the things? I remember I was stripping a lot of muscles. I was going through primitive reflexes. I was, you know, doing all these things. What was going through your mind?
Okay, what was really going through my mind was, this hurts really bad, but try not to make a face, because the thing was, when I would make a face, you would stay in that spot and continue to trip. So when you're using it, you would hurt so bad, but I was trying my absolute hardest not to make a face, so you'd just move along.
Which you were really good at.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this guy's like, I can't believe you. My thumbs hurt. Like, yeah. I was like, what's going on? And then I could see the sweat was pouring off of you. And I was like, he's a Marine.
Yeah.
He's holding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's funny, because you'll be in the office, right? So you've interned in the office.
Yeah.
And you'll be, you know, you'll see us doing some of that work with someone. And you always tell them, you know, act like it doesn't hurt. They won't stay there as long. Trying to coach them along, right?
Yeah, but now when I look back at that, I kind of wish I would have made a face, because by interning with you, I found out that they have to deal with the place that hurt to break the fascia and stuff, so you get to move again. It's funny because I've actually learned all this stuff, and I'm like, that's what they were doing, right? That and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, we feel it. We're going to focus on it anyway. You can think you were changing how we were doing it, but you really weren't. But that's okay. You can take that. Awesome. Okay. So, I mean, I could talk about your rehab and all the therapy and things. I remember when you started doing push-ups. I remember when, you know, we were hitting all these milestones, and things were just awesome. But let's talk about Pam.
Oh, Pam is the best. She is the best. The best dog ever.
Tell me why she's so important to you.
So Pam, I say she's my therapy dog, but she's never been to therapy dog training. Mm-hmm. She's my therapy. Her presence just has a certain calming factor for me, and when you say her name, it just helps calm you down and stuff. And you can't get mad at a dog named Pam, because you can't yell, Pam, what are you doing? It just makes you laugh when that happens, you know? So she kind of has a good name, because...
Did you name her?
Oh, I had to. Yeah, I named her after Pam on The Office. So
named her after Pam from The Office?
Oh, yeah. It's funny, because if I had her, I was going to name a girl Pam and a boy Dwight.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm so happy I got a girl dog named Pam.
Oh, my gosh. So would you recommend that, you know, someone going through a similar scenario, is this something that they should look at? Trying to connect with a pet, or a certain dog, maybe a dog named after someone from The Office?
I would say, like, if it depends on if you're like a animal person, you know, but like, my family is grown up with dogs, so I mean, I that was my goal, was to get a dog, and I had to take care of it, so it's kind of like a part therapy dog, part just a companion, which was amazing, because she calms me down, and I had to wake up in the morning, I feed her and stuff, and now I can take her on walks around the block, which is a therapy. She's a good therapy dog, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's studies on this. I mean, therapy dogs are good. Obviously, you know, it depends on the person, but it reduces anxiety, reduces heart rate, blood pressure, and you're right, it gives the person something to do. You have to take care of them. They're obviously, you got to take them outside. It's a great thing. And I mean, I've never thought of, name your dog Pam. You can't get mad when you're yelling at Pam.
Yes, I know. It sounds even better, because, like, imagine yelling at Pam. You can't say mad yelling at Pam, you know? He instantly started laughing and stuff. So it That's calms awesome. You down a little bit. Just have her name with Pam.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So do you remember ever coming up against a doctor and they gave you just this crazy prognosis? Like, hey, Cody, here you are. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do this. This is kind of life. Here's what's going on.
So to tell you the truth, like in the beginning, I didn't, in California, I wasn't aware of any of the doctors, mm-hmm. so I didn't have any problems with them, but I wasn't the one dealing with them. It was more my parents were dealing right. with them. But when I got to tier, I got paired with this doctor named Dr. D, I think, from tier downtown.
Dr. D?
Yeah, he okay. was a phenomenal doctor. He gave me so much hope and stuff, so... It's really just finding the people. Like, first off, like, if someone tells me, you can't do this anymore, I cut them off. They're out of my life pretty soon after that, yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that you would suggest to someone struggling out there? Like, it's, how important is it to get people out of your life that are not helping you and to surround yourself with the right type of person?
That's probably the number one thing. Like, luckily, my mom is my gatekeeper, and she finds the people I needed the most. Like, she's where I get my hard-headedness from. When people tell her he's never going to do that again, she doesn't listen to them, and they get cut off. And sometimes, I mean, that personality trait doesn't...
Sometimes it doesn't
sit well with me. We kind of get in big arguments, but I mean, in the long run, being hard-headed changes people's lives, and that's what changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we only have a certain period of time while we're on this planet, right? So maybe we don't need to waste that time talking to these people that are really just feeding negativity and telling us what we can't do.
Yes.
So the quicker we excise that and remove that situation, the faster we can fill it with someone that's going to help us and tell us what we can do and actually help us do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm right there with your mom, man. Like, if someone's not helping me, they're hurting me, and they need to go.
Yes, and that's the way I am now. Just for people in my life, I give them two, maybe three chances, then I cut you off, because after that, like, there's no point in hanging out with you because you're set in your ways. We're going to get in an argument. Just move on. There's no reason to sit in this hatred, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you've, you know, come through this story, right? And your story's still unfolding. And that's the awesome part here. What are you up to now?
So right now, believe it or not, I'm actually back in school trying to get an undergrad in kinesiology from Tarleton State University. I'm at the Texas A&M at Rellis campus.
Mm-hmm.
But then I hope to go to chiropractic school just because you have inspired me so much that I didn't know there's so much that goes into a person's walking and stuff, because our brains used to just get our body to do it. But now I see how much work our brain does, and I've seen all the stuff that you've been able to do, and I want to do that too. So I'm trying to go to chiropractic school after I graduate from Tarleton State. Yeah,
absolutely. So all you chiropractic schools out there, you better be fighting over who gets to have Cody in your school. I'll tell you that much right now. Because you're not going to have anyone more passionate than Cody. And more stubborn.
Yeah.
And no one else with a dog named Pam that is just amazing. So are you wanting to also pursue functional neurology?
Yes, functional neurology is the main way, just the main thing, because I want to inspire people that there's always a way to do things. Don't take no and just sit there and accept it. I want you to, when you hear say no, say, okay, and then go find someone else that will show or what's the word? Treat you to a way that will get you past that no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me, and I've had a lot of Dr. D'Onofrio quotes today. I think I had two or three in the previous podcast. But I remember, right, well, he was my mentor. So once I got into chiropractic, I listened to him. He did an impromptu lecture at Parker, where I was going to chiropractic school. And he was talking about how chiropractic can influence the brain. And like from a scientific perspective, you know, really talking about how the things that we do to our joints, like we can adjust a joint, we can do exercises, we can do these things, and they influence brain function. You know, I was just so enthused by it, right? But I remember that he specifically said, in functional neurology, we don't necessarily always just want to focus on what's wrong. We want to highlight what's right. Because what's right in that individual is our leverage to create positive neuroplasticity. And that was a completely different perspective. You don't get that perspective in medical school, right? I was going, that was my path. I was going to medical school and then I got accepted to pharmacy school and all this kind of stuff. That perspective doesn't exist. So it's a completely different way to look at an individual, right? It's not just about what's wrong with them, but it's about what's finding what's right and highlighting that and using that to leverage and build the brain and the nervous system and the mindset and all the things, right? I mean, it kind of describes your story, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what, so I know that, we all know that you have purpose. I mean, you clearly have a huge purpose, but what do you want to come from the story, right? What do you have any like goals, aspirations? Like, how do you want your story to influence others?
I want my story to influence others just by just showing that there's always hope. And don't take the best thing for me, like my mom would get a prognosis from one doctor, and then she'd say, okay, then she'd move on to the next doctor. And that's kind of how I want to live. It's just, okay, that person told me no, time to move on to the next one and see what they have to offer.
Right.
And that's what I want to do. That's what I really want to do. Like, I want to be the one that gives people hope and stuff. And that's why I want to do functional neurology, just because I was that guy that was I was very close to giving up because I didn't think there's any chance in my life to get back to driving by myself, going to college by myself or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give that hope to people.
Yeah.
And I want them to know too, this isn't a short journey. So don't think that you're just going to snap your fingers and one day you're going to wake up and say, okay, I'm healed now. It's not fast at all. I've been in this for 5 years and still improving. So I just want people to know this is a journey that it takes a while, but it is so worth it in the end.
Yeah.
And that's what I want people to know.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I've been amazed, you know, number one, at your mindset, your physical endurance. I mean, because, you know, we put you through some things that are not easy to do, right? I had you trying to do push-ups when you could barely hold yourself up. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I hope his wrist doesn't break, right? I mean, literally just, you know, watching your arm shake and I'm sitting there going, okay, you know, trying to support, you know, do all the things, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh. But you were like, no, I'm going to push. I'm going to do it. This will happen, right? That was your attitude. And there was a thing with you where, you know, if we did 10 reps, you wanted to do 11. If we, you know, you got to a place where you could do 5 push-ups, well, next time I saw you, first thing you told me, I can do 10 now, right? It was always this mindset of, here's where I am, but I'm going to get here, right? I'm going to push. I'm going to always get better, right? But always acknowledging, like you've said multiple times already, some days suck.
Yeah. I was just funny because I was actually just going to interrupt you and say, now, don't get me wrong. Some days it was not that way. Yeah.
Right?
I was very close to interrupting you to say that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Because every day can't be a glorious day.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Life is a roller coaster. And we just need to hang on for the ride sometimes, you know?
Yes.
I mean, do you feel like sometimes you're just buckling the seatbelt and just throwing your hands up?
There have been days where I wake up and I'm just like, this is not the day. Do not talk to me. Do not mess with me. And those days were not good. But the next day, I put my visor back down. I was ready to keep going. You know, it's just, you can't, the thing is, you can't stew in that negative mindset, though. And I think that's the main thing. It's like, I stew in it, the longest I stew in those bad moods, probably like 2 or 3 days. But after that, I'm ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you pop yourself out? Like, if you're getting to a place you're like, man, it's been too long, what do you do?
So, believe it or not, so I actually find out I can do a lot more than I used to be able to when I am in one of those dark places, just because I don't want to ask for help and anything like that. I end up doing things for myself because I don't want to ask anyone. And when I see I can do those things, that's when I start to get out of that mindset. Just seeing like how much progress I really have made, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you recommend like maybe going back and looking at videos or photos from the past and going, okay, I've really come a long way? Or is it really just a mental exercise for you?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Everyone's okay to look at the old videos, but I wouldn't say do it every day. It's just,
right.
It's just tough to do that every day, but sure. Just like once a month or once every few months or something, it's okay to look back and see where you were. And then that's where you see how far you've come. And I actually would probably recommend that. Just probably, like, if you're having a really bad day, look at old pictures of yourself and just say, this is where I was. This is where I am now. Let's get going, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell the world? It can be anything. It can be, you know, what are the winning lottery numbers? It can be talking about a pet ferret, or is there anything that you want to inspire them? Is it anything at all?
Just probably my motto or my thing I've learned the most is don't take no is like the final experience. When you hear no, say, okay, turn your back and say, I'm going to go to this guy and make it possible and prove you wrong, you know?
Absolutely.
Which is a pretty good way to do things, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is never accept never.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you embody never accept never.
Well, it's funny because I actually have a tattoo on my ribs that says, what does it do?
To know what life is worth, you have to
risk it once in a while. Okay,
so let's say, hold on. So to know what life is worth, you have to risk it once in a while.
Yeah, and I like to tell people I kind of live that saying a little too.
You took it a little too literal.
Too serious, yeah. A little too serious.
When did you get that tattoo?
Yeah, that when I was in the Marine Corps. So probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
Actually, probably like 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. But,
yeah, so don't take things too seriously like that, like I did my tattoo, but just, yeah. Don't take that seriously, for sure.
Well, man, I'm just, again, just so thankful that you're here. And extremely excited to continue to watch this journey unfold. Obviously support you in all the things that you do. Can't wait for you to graduate and then move on to your next stage in chiropractic and functional neurology and then maybe you'll be with us. Maybe, you know, we'll see, you know, what you want to do there. Right. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe you'll be working alongside us. Right. Maybe you'll go open a NeuroSolutions Center somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm just, you know, so thankful again that you're here. Your story is extremely just remarkable. Your mindset is amazing. And I mean, you really are your resource for so many people. You know, so many people are going to watch this, hear your story, and I can only imagine how many people you're going to really help out here, you know?
And thanks for having me, because and just know, without you, my life would be in a much different place. And I'm in a much better place once I met you and stuff. You just inspired me to put my life on a different path than I was in. And I think it's going to turn out to be pretty good in the long run, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be better than pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? And thank you for writing so many chapters in my textbook.
Yep. I try.
You didn't know you were an author already, yeah, right? Yeah. That's awesome. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. And as always, you know, we're here to help others. So if this message resonated with you, if you think there's someone that Cody can help, right, that this story can help, please share it with them. That's why we're doing this. So again, thank you, and I can't wait to talk to you next time. Again, Cody, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Every year, there's an amazing event. It's hosted by Team Luke Hope for Minds, a nonprofit for pediatric brain injury. And this event is very important for the brain injury community for several reasons, but it's important for individuals that are walking through some of the most traumatic events in life that have ever occurred. It's important for them to come together. It's important for them to be able to meet clinicians that are helping them in the trenches, right? It's important for them to come experience life together and understand that there is hope, there is meaning, there is more to this story that needs to be told, right? And so I would just ask that you would consider supporting this mission, supporting this nonprofit. They need to help people. They need to help these kiddos that have had brain injuries, and they need to bring these families together. So if you would, please consider donating to Team Luke Hope for Minds, because these kids need your help.
We hope today's episode has inspired you to take that next step toward your best self. Remember, the path to longevity is paved with small, daily decisions. Your journey is unique, and every step, every choice, brings you closer to your ultimate vision of a healthier, happier life. For more insights, tips, and resources, visit drbrandoncrawford.com.